Can somebody say amen? Amen. Can somebody shout amen?
Amen?
I am just so excited to be here today. I'm excited to be a part of this sermon series that we are currently in, this short 5-week sermon series called Foundations. And if this is your first or second time here, today's sermon in this sermon series called Foundations is the sermon titled God Conversations. And so what we've been fellowshipping around is this idea of building firm foundations for our children. The idea of being a godly parent. What does it take, and how can the church participate in us being godly parents and raising our children in the way that God has commanded us to do? And so I'm just so excited to be here today. I'm just excited about how God works. It's just so, I'll say, apropos that I'm preaching today on God Conversations, and what I'm going to share, the baptism just ties in. And so hang on, I'm going to show you how all of this ties in, and the fact that you're here today is not by accident, it's not by incident. I mean, it's not by accident, but it's by incident, that God has you here for a reason. I know that every person here that's a parent, I know that you desire to be the best parent that you can be. And so I'm just thankful that God touched your heart to come and be with us here at Connect Church today. So I'm not going to be before you long. If you can, as we always do, as we customarily do, as you stand, can you meet me in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6? So as you stand, let's read Deuteronomy, chapter 6. I always have a hard time saying that book of the Bible. Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And I'm going to start at verse 4. I am going to read a few scriptures to get us started, and then we're going to see what God has to say about this Foundations God Conversations. Amen? Amen. If you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. No hold ups. All right. This book, the sixth chapter and the fourth verse, it starts out, and if you're from a Hebrew tradition, this word that we see here in English, in Hebrew, it's the word Shema, and it means to listen. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." Verse 5, he says, "You shall love the Lord," catch this, "the love you shall love the Lord your God," catch this, "with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might." He says, "These are the words which I am commanding you today that shall be on your heart." He says, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk to them, and shall talk to them whenever you sit down in your talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." He says, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your head. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for this opportunity to stand before these, your people, God, and to proclaim your word. I thank you, God, that this word today falls on the good soils of our heart, not on the stony places and not on the rocky places, but God, that this word falls on the good soils of our heart, that God, that it may produce a harvest, God, that it might produce good fruit in our lives. And so, God, I just thank you. And God, here I stand. I ask you, God, I decrease. I ask you to increase. God, what I'm basically asking you to do is this, is to wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you created me for. And that is to make your name great. And we just give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. Amen. You can be seated. parenting is probably one of the most, not probably, parenting is, and I know somebody should have said something right there, parenting is one of the most difficult yet rewarding things we could ever do. Right. I know for Tanya and I, we tried to raise our kids in a godly home. Even with our best efforts, I tell you, I sometimes struggle. I constantly ask myself this question. Now that my sons and both of my sons are here today, one is 23 and the other one is 22, and man, we raised them in a God-fearing house. We took them to church and we got them involved in church. But I tell you, one of the constant things that just keeps nagging at me and nagging at me, I keep asking myself this question over and over again. Aleem, did you disciple your sons enough? And if you're a parent and if you are a God-fearing parent, I know some of us, there are a lot of parents here that do a great job with that. I was going to call out some names, but I'm not going to call out any names, because if I don't call out that person's name, if I don't call out this person's name, somebody's going to be upset. And so I just decided that I'll just say, here at Connect, we have we have some great parents at Connect Church. Amen? Amen. But it's a difficult thing. And I know as parents, what we want for our kids is we want the best for our children. We want them in the best schools. We want them in the best neighborhoods. We want them to have the best of friends. I mean, we just really desire the best for our children. But sometimes, too, in that, and ultimately, I'll say this, we ultimately, what we want to do as parents, we want to try to shield them and protect them from all harm, from all tragedy, and we want to protect them as much as we can from the pitfalls of life. And I know that we also struggle with this. We struggle understanding really the big why. And if you don't know me, one of the things that I love to do is I love to understand why. And I love to communicate why, because when you understand why, now you can move and you understand the reason behind why you're doing what you are supposed to do. And so I believe today that God has a word for us that is going to show us the big why of why it's important for us as parents to raise up our kids in a godly home. And can I share this with you today? It's not just so that they can go to the right school. It's not just so that they can have the right friends. It's not so that they can just live in the right suburbs. God has a bigger plan for your children than you understand at times. And I believe that if we really understood that, and if we took hold to it, and if we understood the command, not just the command, but we also understand the commitment that it takes to raise a child in the way that God teaches us to, I'm telling you, this world would be a much safer place. Because it all starts at the home. Can I tell you this? The first organization that God created was not the Republicans and the Democrats. The first organization that God created was not the schools. The first organization that God created wasn't even the church. The first organization, the first structure that God created was what? The family. It starts with the family and it's going to end with the family. Because when God comes back, he's going to come back for a group of people that he calls his own. And so it starts just like it ends with the family. And so I want you to walk with me as we look at this sermon, God Conversations. Because it relates to parenting and it relates to children. And also what I want you to understand is that we're going to walk away here today with understanding the significance and the importance of being a parent. And let's not just look at the content of the scripture, but let's look at the whole context of scripture. And I guarantee you that when you look at the content and the context, you're going to walk away today understanding that, man, I am now parenting with a purpose. We find ourselves here in Deuteronomy. Can I come up with another word for this? Man, can I just call it this book? We find ourselves in the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. We find Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. I heard some people say that this is Moses' valedictorian speech to the children of Israel. He's speaking to them. They're just right there on the cusp of the promised land. And here it is, the statesman that he is, he's imparting to them the wisdom and the knowledge. And if you would, jump, come back up to chapter 6. Look at verse 2. He says this, he says, here's why this is important. Here's why I want you to understand the commandment and the statutes and the judgments that I'm about to give to you. He says, I want you to understand this. Why? So that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God. It's not just parents, it's parents and grandparents. We have to understand the importance of being a parent. And he says this. He says, I'm going to teach you something, and I want you to understand it because there is a purpose to it. And most of us forget that there is a purpose to parenting other than just raising a morally good child. The purpose is for them, is the same purpose for our children today is the same purpose that it was for the children of Israel as they're standing there, they're getting ready to go into this much awaited promised land. They have come up out of Egypt. They've gone around and around in a circle. A whole generation has died off, and now they find themselves right at the cusp of about to go into the promised land, and here's what he tells them in verse 4, he says, hear this, O Israel. He says, the Lord our God is one. And he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Can I share this with you today? The children of Israel was about to be catapulted into a different culture. God had took the time to raise up a group of people to himself. He had raised them up to be what we say in the New Testament, to be salt and light. And so now here they are on the cusp of about to go into this promised land, and he tells them, he says, when you go, the first thing that I want you to do is, when you're teaching your sons, I want you to understand this, that relationship with me comes before you impart any rules on your kids. Somebody didn't hear what I said. He says, your relationship with me supersedes any rules that you try to institute on your kids, because if you don't have a right relationship with me, you can't have a great relationship with them. He says, it all starts with us. It's the conversation that you spend with me. Because, see, it's the God conversations that we have as parents that are going to determine the God conversations we have with our kids. And he says it starts with relationship. You have to have a great relationship with God before you can have a great relationship with your kids. He says, I want you to love me with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. What God has said, he's not calling you to be perfect, but what he is calling you to do is to be submissive to me. God, how would you want me to raise these kids? Not what society says, but God, how do you want me to raise them? That's where the conversation should start. God, it doesn't start with God, I'm going to raise them so that they can go to this school over here or in this school over here. No, God, how can I raise them so that they love you just as much as I love you? Man, I can remember as a child, just like yesterday. And I got a chance to take my son, I got a chance to take one of my sons over there about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was in 1974. My mom and my stepdad had just had a knockdown drag out, as they normally did anyway. That's a whole other story. And so she grabbed me and she grabbed my younger brother. She walks out of the house and she just starts walking. She's walking down a street in South Dallas. And she comes to the intersection of the street named Gould. I never will forget it. And there was this little white church right there, and they were playing music. Man, I mean, they were getting after it. Man, they were getting after it. And we just are walking, and she's fussing to herself. And if you knew my mom prior to the Lord saving her, you would know she wasn't just fussing, but she was also cussing. And so she's walking and she's fussing and cussing, and she hears this sound coming from this little white church on Gould Street. And she drags us in, and she just goes in, and she just walks immediately. She walks in the door, walks straight to the altar, and fell on her face and gave her life to Christ. I was with her when that happened. And I was sharing with my son. I said, son, because God had her best interest at heart, and he had my best interest at heart, I got a chance to see the start of my mom's relationship with God. And I tell you, that affects me to this day, because I'm telling you, if you knew Laura Bell Williams, you would have to know that this is the woman that could fight like a man. I'm serious. I have seen her beat up policemen. All of my uncles. She put the hellion in Hellcat. But to just see how God just miraculously changed her life because of her relationship. And that's what Moses is telling the children of Israel, that you can't start to teach your children unless your relationship with me is right. So you have to build relationships before you institute rules. And look at verse 6. Verse 6 says this. He says, these words which I am commanding you today, catch this, he said, shall be in your heart. The Bible says that the issues of life flows out of the heart. What am I saying here? Not only do we have to have relationships before rules, but the next thing is we need to authentically model Christ-like before our kids. We have to model. Sometimes we spend too much time talking it and not living it. And can I help parents these days, children that you're raising right now? They don't want to hear it. they want to see it. They want to see it. They understand what you do on Sundays between 10 and noon. But what they're watching is what you do afternoon. What they're watching is are you going to show grace because you're always asking God for grace? Are you going to be a big sharer of grace? See, this generation right here, they follow authenticity. Not perfection, authenticity. Not perfection, authenticity. And here's the thing. Some of us parents are afraid to let our kids see us fail. We want to present this perfect, holier-than-thou kind of image to our kids, and that is not reality. You're not perfect, and they're not going to be perfect. When they become adults, they're not going to be perfect. So why are you trying to imitate something that you're not? I believe you should let your kids see you fail and see you go on your knees and ask God for forgiveness. Your kids need to see it in you and not just what you say. They need to see you authentically modeling what you're preaching to them. I never will forget about a month ago, my wife and I was in the kitchen, and you know, if you know my wife, she has the gift of, I know, I'm trying to see what the right words to say. She has the gift of communication, let's just say it like that. And sometimes she can communicate quicker than I can. And so she had kind of communicated in a quick way. I'm going to use that word. In a quick way. And I responded in the way that I typically respond. And something transpired. I went in the room. I came back out. I was like, I'm hugging her. I'm like, babe, I'm sorry. She was like, okay. And my son was sitting over there. He was like, yeah, okay. Okay, and you know, he didn't say anything. He just said, okay. So he got a chance to see us, cause he knew that I was hot. But he also saw me come back and ask for forgiveness. Our kids need to see it, and not just hear it. But then, not only are we to have relationships before we impact rules and authentically model for our kids, look at verse 7. Verse 7 says this. It says, you shall teach them diligently. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you raise up. Can I tell you this? Our God conversations are not just horizontal, but they are vertical. And what this text is teaching us is that we need to use life in itself to impart to our children. We need parental imparting. Sometimes when situations go wrong, or when you are observing something when you have those God opportunities, those God conversation opportunities to impart in to your kids, take those times, because those are the times that are going to be the most impactful. Sometimes here, we can sometimes say things from up here that when your kids are in here, they'll come back and ask you and say, what did he mean by that? Or let me make sure we got, okay, that's okay. I'm trying to be gingerly here. But when your kids ask you those hard questions. Like, Daddy, when we die, where are we going? That's a great opportunity to teach your kids about salvation. When you're driving by and you see a homeless person on the street, that's a time for parental imparting. Sometimes, son, life happens. Sometimes life can deal you some terrible things, and for this particular person, they're choosing to handle it like this, but just so that you don't end up like this in this situation, so that you don't end up homeless, make sure that you do this, and this. That's parental imparting. It's not like the text is saying, like, you don't have to have it stamped on your head. You don't have to write it on the doorpost of your, I mean, you can, but that's not the overall implications of this text. What this text is saying is that as you're doing life, impart that with your kids. If you come home from work and you've had a rough day at work, sit down and after you've calmed down, had your cup of whatever that you choose, coffee, tea. Whatever you choose, after you've calmed down, sit down and talk to your kids. Hey, son, I'm on a job right now that I really don't like. If you ever find yourself in a situation, I love my job. This is just an example. Woo! Man, I love my job. But I mean, just take the time to just impart. It's not always about yeah. Why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing this? And I'm gonna tell you, I'm the biggest proponent of this because I'm just a fusser by nature. See, I told y'all she was quick. See, God always has a way of his word coming true. But as I get older and as I had to take a step back, I had to stop fussing at my children all the time, and now I try to impart into them. Especially as they get older, you don't want to run them off all the time with, why aren't you doing this? Because, see, I'm Sergeant Inspector. When I walk in the house, it's like I'm looking. Like, what ain't done? And I have to catch myself. And I know I'm not the only person. I'm not going to ask you to wash your hands. But we have to, though. We have to take time to impart into our children. And look with me at verse 8. Verse 8 says this, it says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and shall be frontals on your head. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house. Can I share this with you? Not only do we need to impart into our children, but we need to do it over and over and over and over and over again. I told you I was going to tell you the purpose of why God is calling us to be godly parents. Can I share this with you now? Just like with the children of Israel, they were about to be catapulted into a new culture. When you're parenting your children, you are catapulting them into culture, and they are called, just like you're called, to be salt and light in this world. Israel, they were charged to go into Canaan and not to assimilate with what Canaan, they weren't called to assimilate into the culture that Canaan had. They were called to go in there and be who God called them to be. And see, sometimes we are afraid to be different. That's why we're imparting into our our children. That's why we are having God conversations with them. Why? Because we want to let them know that you are called to be different, and it's okay to be different because you're different for Christ. But see, if you don't understand that, all you want to do is raise a child that can run fast, shoot a hoop, swing a bat, or even if all you're raising is a kid that's just academically smart, that's not the whole picture. The entirety of it is that you're raising kids to further God's kingdom, and you are inserting them into the kingdom so that they could be salt and light to those others who are not. They're not called to be sour and dim, but salt and light, to add flavor, to shine a light, to be hope for someone. That's what God is calling. That's why we're charged as Christians to raise Christian children. And grandparents, let me say this. You're called to reinforce it. You're not just called to spoil. I know, I can't wait. I can't wait to. I'm collecting snacks now. All kinds of just cakes and pies. I'm gonna just send them home just fat and round. But we're not just called to just spoil our grandkids. We're called to reinforce what you put into your kid. And could I encourage someone today? If your children are grown and you didn't get a chance to show them the relationship that you have with God, you didn't get a chance to impart to them, and sometimes even when you do all that, kids still go astray. Can I tell you this? Your only command was to teach them. Man, that should help somebody today. They're in God's hands, and it's a calling of trust at that point. When you know that you have sat down and you have trained them and you've tried to live a godly life and you've done the best that you can, when they turn 18 and they go off to school and all that, man, I'm telling you, at that point now it just becomes a trust thing. And when they go astray, you have to trust and know that God has a plan for their life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for this opportunity, God, to stand before these, your people. God, I pray today for parents. I pray today for new parents. I pray today for parents that's soon to be. God, I pray for those that get a new opportunity. God, I pray that this word falls on the good soils of our heart. God, that if this is their first child, the God, that they get off to a great start. If this is their second child, God, that they continue. And God, for those of us that have older children, God, I pray to God that we just continue to authentically, God, do what you called us to do. God, I thank you for the gift of being a parent. Thank you, God, for the responsibility of it. God, I thank you for parents, God, that don't take it lightly. I thank you for parents, God, that understand the command and the commitment that it takes, God, to raise godly children. And so, God, I just pray a prayer of provision over each person's life here today, God. God, if there are some single parents in the room, God, I pray provision for them. God, I pray that they never lack a day in their life. I pray, God, that the children get the best education, God, that they grow up in a godly household. God, I just thank you, God, for just a group of people that take it seriously, God. That don't run from it. That don't shuck it. But God stands firm in you. declaring and decreeing the goodness of our great God. And so, God, I just thank you for all that you're going to do. Thank you, God, for allowing me to be a parent, God. I thank you, God, for the time when Tanya and I become grandparents, God. Pray, God, that we continue to imitate you and be a beacon of light for our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. God, I just thank you, God, for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. At this time, I'm going to ask you to stand. And if you're here today, and I'm going to tell you, one of the best things that you can do for your children at all times is to pray for them without ceasing. And so if you're here today and you want to just come down and just pray for your kids, if you want to pray for you, if you want to pray that your relationship with God is more evident and you want to draw closer to God and you want to go deeper in God, I invite you to just come down to this altar today. I want you to pray for your kids. I want you to pray for your grandkids. I want you to pray for your great-grandkids. I want you to pray for your kids three or four generations down. Because the legacy that you're going to leave for them is going to be a legacy of prayer. And if that's you, and if you are a parent and a grandparent, and you want to make sure that you leave a legacy for your children and your children's children, I want you to just start praying right now. Pray and just thank God for all that he's going to do through them and in them and how they're going to be salt and light in this world. Because I'm telling you, there's going to be people that are going to come to know Christ because of your children and your grandchildren in this room today. And so I'm going to open up the altar. If you do want to come and you can't kneel all the way down, we do have chairs here at the front. So just come and let's just take a few minutes to pray for our children. Amen.